In a world where action films are dumped in theaters and TV, dead on arrival.
I can't go on living this lie!
You need a hero.
Last time I trusted someone, I lost an eye.
You need a helper.
Hello, nothing to see here.
You need a healer.
That is affirmative.
You need...
We're on the air.
Professor Rick's Action Film Autopsy.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Professor Rick's Action Film Autopsy. No, it's not really a Professor Rick's Action Film Autopsy. You tell them what it actually is.
All right, you guys ready?
The Comedy Film Nerds podcast from San Diego Comic-Con.
Okay, let's do it, guys.
Well, all right. Well, you got to do your intros, man. I shouldn't be talking already.
So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Comedy Film Nerds podcast, live on tape from Comic-Con in San Diego.
One shot first.
Oh, no, they're going to think it's the end of the episode.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming. Thanks, guys. Great show. Very, see you online.
Very short bonus content tonight. And we are pre-show. We've got our buddy Rick Myers is running his 20th anniversary show tonight.
20 years.
Yep.
It's amazing.
The
Kung Fu Extravaganza.
Now, what's the full title now, Rick?
This year, it's San Diego Kung Fu Extravaganza 20th Anniversary Celebration.
All right.
That's how it's listed in the program.
Mm-hmm. It used to be called, there was Superhero was in there.
Superhero, that's how I sold it originally. I didn't think they would just let me do straight Kung Fu.
Yeah.
But then again, I found out that's what Kung Fu is. At this point, the best Kung Fu being done in the world in cinema is from Doctor Strange, Wonder Woman, what's the other one that's just like painfully wonderful Kung Fu? But basically Doctor Strange and Wonder Woman. Oh, Force Awakens. Star Wars Force Awakens. They all have quintessential, elevated Kung Fu in them at the end. The rest of it's a martial arts, but then suddenly they do Kung Fu.
All right.
Brilliantly. We'll talk about it. It's in the show, too.
So that's Rick Myers. We also have Neil T. Weekly here.
Hi, Heidi Ho.
Are you coming up with a catchphrase? It's Heidi Ho, folks.
He's speaking from over the picket fence in the hotel room.
Now,
Neil's going to make that into a T-shirt, right? Neil T. Weekly, Heidi Ho.
That'd be great. Yeah, hashtag Heidi Ho.
We should make a bunch of those and have them sit in your garage after we sell 5 of them.
We really should, because then that would match everything else we have in the garage.
Oh, yeah. Spider-Man Homecoming, too.
Yep.
Kung Fu in it. There's Kung Fu in it.
Yep.
And as you guys know, we lost last year's San Diego Comic-Con episode, so we will be checking the mic inputs and the levels every 4 seconds.
And Rick, and this is also, Rick is backing this up on his iPhone, so he's going to release this on his podcast feed.
Yes, actionfilmautopsy.com.
We'll be doing a simulcast release.
You don't want me to record it, too, just in case?
You never know. Yeah, Heidi Ho, Neil, record it.
And last year, no matter what we do this year, last year will always be better. The lost episode will always be the greatest one we've ever done.
There's no way to change that.
Well, you know, don't worry, people, I don't care anymore.
I told everybody at lunch the Ray Bradbury Pablo Picasso story.
Mm-hmm. It's a great story.
And that's what I feel like this is.
Tell it.
I'll tell the story. So, Picasso was living in the south of France towards the end of his life. Pablo Picasso, of course, many of you know, obviously, very famous artist, sculptor, painter. He was also a guy who at the end of his life would pay, they dropped the check at a restaurant, and he would just take a napkin and scribble some
drawing. He actually scribbled on the check.
Yeah. He'd scribble on the check and say, and draw something and say, there.
I've paid.
There, I've paid. And who the fuck's going to argue with Bob Lopez?
Nobody. Let's face it. That actually was probably worth an awful lot more than the food.
Yes, it was.
You can go all over France and find framed pictures of checks signed by Picasso.
That's a great thing.
On the wall of the restaurant.
So they,
isn't that the goal of every artist, to be able to sign your check with a piece of art?
Secretly.
Of the no, they just want to sign the check. They just want to be able to pay their bills.
Take the word starving out of their starving artist.
I would love to just be able to do that. Just.
Well, maybe that's why. You know.
Thank you.
All right.
Guest star.
Maid service is done.
Great cleaning staff here at the hotel, guys. Highly recommend it. Fantastic facility.
They're awesome people.
Mm-hmm.
So in south of France, Pablo Picasso was also known for...
As the check signer,
but people would go, oh, you... they'd see sketches of his sculptures. And someone said, like, oh, so these, like, the rough drafts of your sculptures. And he goes, I don't do rough drafts. Everything I do is a masterpiece. So this is, I'm giving you the backstory on the humility of Pablo Picasso.
Right. That's integral to the story.
So Ray Bradbury, so this is in the 70s. It's the height of his... As a writer, and he was in the south of France, and he got word. He goes, "I want to meet Pablo Picasso, and like, can somebody make this happen?" And then someone got a hold of him and said, "Mr. Picasso wants to meet you. Go down to the beach." So he goes to the beach, and drawn in the sand is a drawing by Picasso. And Ray Bradbury goes, "Oh my God!
That's amazing.
Can I take a photo of this?" Picasso goes, "No. This has to stay in your memory. This is only for you. Can I get my wife?" Yes. So Ray Bradbury and his wife sat there, and he goes, when the tide comes and takes it away, it's gone. So that's what last year's Comedy Film Nerds Comic-Con episode was. It was just for us.
It was a Picasso sand drawing.
It's a little ballsy of us to compare ourselves to Picasso and Bradbury. But
I don't know. I don't think it's ballsy at all. I think those guys are ballsy to not have podcasts.
That's how we signed the check today.
Yeah.
Well, they were live today.
We just wrote Han shot first, and they bowed, and we didn't have to pay for our lunch.
And I also idolize Ray Bradbury. I was a great fan of his. We were in communication. I told the story when I worked on a magazine called Video Gaming Illustrated. I got to call him up and say, and this was back in, what, 95, 85, something like that, when before computers had become pervasive. And I said, what do you say to people who are afraid of computers? He said, ask them if they're afraid of pencils and libraries. And so he's just an awesome guy, one of the great writers.
Yeah.
Of course, many movies have been made of his books, as well as he wrote the screenplay for John Huston's Moby Dick. Starring,
yes,
he did. Not Burt
Lancaster. That was one of the times I saw him speak. Bradbury.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say Albert Brooks for a second.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah.
He would have enjoyed that, too. He also, Ray Bradbury was a veteran attendee of the San Diego Comic-Con.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
And I would see him all the time here. And just an awesome man, one of the great writers. If you haven't read his work, I can Illustrated Man,
Martian Chronicles,
Fahrenheit 451, just an amazing
Something
fellow.
Wicked This Way Comes. Right. Those are all good entry points.
I forgot we're the Comedy Film Nerds. I'm still stuck in my action film mode.
Right.
But they have some action in there.
So, well, let's start talking about what we're going to see on the 20th anniversary show, Rick. Now, we just met some of your friends from
Well Go USA,
and they have an amazing film lined up called Triple Threat.
Well, 20 years ago today, Sergeant Pepper told the band to play. Tai Seng started this with me, Tai Seng Entertainment, who were the number one distributors of Asian action films in America at the time, 20 years ago, including The Best of Jackie Chan, etc. And so over the years, when Tai Seng is now out of business, over the last couple of years, I've spent more and more time on the phone and on email with Wellgo USA, who were becoming the number one distributor of Asian action over the last years. And it'd be a couple from Columbia, it'd be a couple from whatever Miramax or the TWC, the Weinstein Company, but most of them were Wellgo, to the point where this year, all of it's Wellgo except for the American stuff. This year, the plan is to have the introduction. Wellgo stepped up, where the introduction introduced the usual gang of idiots, you guys.
Right.
Eric Jacobus.
Fair enough.
it was going to be Clayton Barber, who was on the panel last year, and he was, at that time, best known as being the stunt coordinator for Creed, the Rocky movie. Well, this year, he's better known as the stunt coordinator for Black Panther.
Oh,
the new Marvel movie.
Which looks awesome.
Which does look awesome, fantastic. But he can't make it because of that.
Oh, yeah.
So Luc LaFontaine, who I definitely want Graham to meet, because he's one of the great sword masters, screen sword masters of all, he's subbing for him. And so I said, that's a pretty good panel, and I've had a lot of good movies. I've got an hour of Asian clips, a half hour of American clips, and I have a half hour of the greatest hits from the Comic-Con. Since it's a 20th anniversary, I want to show clips, the best hits from the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought that was awesome, but I'm going, oh gosh, I don't know if that's enough. I mean,
Those are three standalone shows on their own.
Right? That's right.
Yeah, they really
are. Not, you know, but it's not special. It's what I would do anyway. So then Welgo keeps calling me up because I was dealing with one person at Welgo and who, according to information, may have just thought of the Kung Fu Extravaganza as just some other thing, not something special or unique. Then when she left the company, the whole team of marketing people heard about it, and they suddenly went, wow, this could be awesome, because now they have all these amazing Asian movies that they, just like back when I started my career, there was World Northall, who was releasing Shaw Brothers movies on syndicated television, and Tai Seng, who was trying to get into the video stores, and they needed to educate the American people as to why they should care about these movies. And we're back to that again. Welgo has now got them all. They're putting them out theatrically. They're putting them out download. They're putting them out on Blu-ray and DVD. So suddenly they said, yeah, just like Jackie Chan and other things, Rick could help us get to the audience who's waiting for us.
Right.
And I went, yeah, that'd be great. I wish you would think of me that way. Mm-hmm. And so 20 years later, suddenly these guys step up and start over the last 2 weeks going, well, how would you like this premiere? How would you like this preview of movies that are either haven't been in the theater yet, haven't been on DVD yet, and in one very special case, hasn't been finished yet.
Wow.
Hasn't.
That's triple threat, right?
That's triple threat.
Let's talk about that.
Is the poster over there?
Yeah,
there's a poster.
Mm-hmm. Tony Jaa.
Tony Jaa, Iko Uwais?
Yeah.
For those who don't know, Tony Jaa is the star of Ong Bak 1 through 3, or Thai Warrior 1 through 3. Uko is the star of Raid 1 and 2. And who's the third on the list up there? They're the triple
Tiger Chen.
Tiger Chen, the star of Master of Tai Chi, who was going to be here tonight, but he can't make it, sadly. Now, that's just the triple threat, but there are people fighting him, played by Scott Adkins, who was the fighting villain in Doctor Strange, had that amazing scene in the hospital in the other world.
Right.
He's also in the Expendables. His fight with Jason Statham in the Expendables 2 or 3, I can't remember, mm-hmm. was awesome. Scott,
same movie.
Yeah, Scott. Yeah, that's absolutely true. Except one of them has Scott Adkins in it,
right,
fighting Jason Statham. Mm-hmm. And Scott Adkins is awesome, and he really should become the next big star if he's able to get the right script. But meanwhile, also in Triple Threat, Michael Jai White, Black Dynamite himself, he is going to be returning to the extravaganza because he's been on the panel a couple of times before. But here he's in, and I know Triple Threat is a good movie because Michael wants to do his own movies. He's just, the last couple of movies have been his movies, but he heard about this one and he said, I cannot miss this. It's going to be, I want to be in this ensemble. Backing him up is Michael Bisping, who's also going to be here tonight, who's a UFC champion.
Wow.
And also coming tonight is Selena Jade, who's like drowning in a sea of testosterone in this movie. And I'm going to say, how did you keep your head above water in this sea of testosterone?
So what's the basic plot line for the film?
It's three bad guys versus four good people.
Wow.
So the leads are the three bad guys?
To my knowledge... Well, let me put it this way. To be honest, I don't know.
Okay.
I will find out with you tonight. Because we will be the first people outside of the studio and the crew who has seen anything from this movie. Like I said,
sweet.
It's not finished yet.
That's right. Cool.
We have 45 minutes of finished footage. By the way, it's a Jesse V. Johnson film. Jesse V. Johnson is one of the soon... He's basically Hall of Fame quality stunt coordinator and stuntman. He was the personal protege of Vic Armstrong, probably the most legendary stunt coordinator, stuntman in history. That's Vic Armstrong being dragged behind the truck in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Okay.
Vic Armstrong, wow. You just look up Vic Armstrong, and the fact that Jesse's an Englishman, and he's going to be here tonight. And
what?
Yes, and I cannot wait.
How are we
going
to fit all the people on the panel?
We have got Woodstock on stage tonight.
Yeah, we do.
We have 11 to 12 people on stage tonight.
Nice.
Yeah, so again, I'm just going to like...
That's different than just having Graham, Neil, and myself on.
That's right. A little different. And
the stack is too deep.
And I
on that stage.
These are all great people. I haven't met I haven't met everybody yet, but of course I know Michael Jai White. I know you guys, and it's like everybody should just have a ball.
This sounds like a fantastic panel.
It's going to be a great panel.
We've always met cool people on these panels. This is pretty amazing.
I may, for the listeners of the Action Film Autopsy, I may do a postscript going, I screwed the pooch. It was terrible. Oh, my God, my life and career is ruined. But hopefully not. But the even more important in terms of the what we're doing here, recording podcasts, it's fascinating to see what's happening with action film. Had you heard last year, we talked about our concerns for the future of legitimate action film, because it was all becoming very generic. And it was
been concerned about that for a couple of years now.
Yes.
I mean, like a couple of years ago, you talked about how the Chinese government is kind of clamped down on Hong Kong, and that's been around for a while.
Yeah, Hong Kong is gone; it's all Chinese now.
Right.
You'll be seeing an hour of Chinese footage. And watching the filmmakers compensate, because all the filmmakers want freedom, even the mainland Chinese filmmakers who never lived in Hong Kong and never tasted total freedom, are still rebelling against being told at any given moment how they should make their films by people who don't know film.
But aren't they still being told?
They are, but that's kung fu. That's the way they're finding around it. When you see the scenes tonight, you'll see the way they're doing it. I love the fact, it's exciting for me, that every fight scene you will see tonight is an act of defiance. Because the Chinese government, for the most part, seems to want wushu, which is martial arts, which is everybody doing the same thing at the same time, finding commandment. These movies are about people who, as Doctor Strange repeatedly says during the movie Doctor Strange, there's got to be a better way.
Right.
There's got to be another way, a smarter way, a more effective way, which is all about kung fu. So these scenes, which are choreographed by the greatest in time, who know that their time is numbered, Sammo Hung, every single fight scene he does could be his last, literally. So everyone he does, he directs it as if it is his last. There's some fight scenes you'll see tonight. And again, these are all Welgo USA movies, so you will be able to get them right now.
Oh, cool.
So look for God of War.
On demand.
On demand. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're downloadable. They're Blu-rays.
Do your friends have any sample swag DVDs?
Let me put it this way. I have some sample swag. But be that as it may, the God of War, go get that one. Call of Heroes. That's Sammo. Go get that one just for the fight scenes, because it's an old-fashioned Hong Kong one. And we've got some stuff just for Graham, specifically Swordmaster. There's some enormously amazing gun fu stuff that we're showing that is comparison.
What do you consider gun fu?
Well, gun fu, of course, the greatest gun fu of all time was John Woo's movies, Bullet in the Head, Better Tomorrow 1 and 2, Hard Boiled, and The Killer. And what's funny is that
when no one has to reload and there's a million bullets going on.
But also, there's two best hits this year that are both borrowed from... Oh, Baby Driver, which I'm not showing a scene from this year, has a fight scene borrowed from Bullet in the Head. Mm. The car jousting sequence is all from John Woo's Bullet in the Head. A wonderful fight scene. You should get the Blu-ray of Fate of the Furious, because they have Jason Statham's two fight scenes uncut. They're not interrupted by submarine nonsense.
Is it nonsense being chased by a submarine on a polarized scale? I don't think so.
That's
it feels
still
very
awesome.
Balanced.
And they also have the uncut prison fight scene between The Rock and Jason Statham, which, when you see it uncut, it's an even better statement of what each of them represent in terms of action film. They're both representing a part of action film. The Rock is representing Peplum, which is the Hercules movies, all those Italian muscle man movies. There are some things he does in that sequence that are so beautifully satiric, when he's picking up his own bed that he ripped out of the wall that's made up. I remember you were talking about how ridiculous that was, and meanwhile, I'm pointing to Graham. But I absolutely adored it because it was self-consciously ridiculous. They knew exactly what they were doing.
Well, those whole movies are self-conscious.
That's why I love them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they were setting up The Rock as the son of Hercules, and they were setting up Statham as the kung fu master. And the fight he does on the plane with the child is right out of Hard Boiled.
Yeah,
directly
I remember that.
Out
yeah.
of Hard Boiled.
The only difference is, you know, Statham didn't get pissed on.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, Statham, that's right. But still that magnificent scene.
That translation, remember that? Oh,
yes,
you
of course.
Piss pot factory.
Yeah, that's right.
The baby bees on him.
The bees on Chow Yun Fat's
yeah.
character. But in this one, they use shit. But it doesn't go on Jason. Because mm-hmm. the fight ends with Jason talking to the baby, going, was that you? Or was that guy? The guy I was just pounding the head of onto the... Oh, yeah, it's him. It's that guy. These are all inspirational. They're all homages to the great Kung Fu. Not just martial arts. Not just that empty movement. The girls fighting the same way as the other girl, fighting the same way as the other guy, that you might as well switch their heads for all the difference it's going to make in the fight. You might as well take a character from another movie and put him into this movie for all the difference it's
going
to make
in
the fight.
For our listeners, I think maybe a little explanation might be in order. Like, when you say cinematic kung fu,
yeah.
what do you refer to specifically?
Like I said, somebody at Disney knows kung fu. There's no question in my mind at this point. I mean, Kung Fu Panda 1 and 3 were the best statements of kung fu in an American film up until...
And they were DreamWorks.
Disney, yeah. Up until... Yeah, exactly. Up until Disney started doing The Force Awakens, Doctor Strange, Moana, Spider-Man. Those are all Disney by way of
right.
their movies.
The companies that they bought.
Right.
You can... When a character is looking for a better way other than closing his fist and punching someone and hurting them and hurting himself... That's Kung Fu. Kung Fu means human achievement. The idea is it's a self-improvement system where the ability to defend yourself against others as well as yourself and stress and germs comes as a side effect of the self-improvement system that you're learning. It gives you true power and true love. Speaking of love, somebody knows Kung Fu at Warner Brothers because the ending of Wonder Woman, which I wish I had tonight... Because the ending of Wonder Woman is
spoiler
one of,
alert.
Yeah, is one of yeah. Here comes the spoiler alert. Matter of fact, since you know, I have a spoiler alert song on my podcast, so I'll sing the little bit of the spoiler alert song. There'll be spoilers. There'll be spoilers. There'll be spoilers. There'll be spoilers. Here we come. There'll be spoilers. We want these movies to be better, so there will be spoilers. Okay, thank you. Now, at the end of Wonder Woman, spoiler alert. She's having one of these. Another one of these ridiculous, empty movement, incredibly stupid fights between her and the God of War. They're punching each other. They're throwing each other around. It is an utter waste of time. It really is. It's a nonsense fight. They're gods. So at the end, something happens.
Wonder Woman's a demigod.
Yeah, well, okay. They're more god than we are.
Yeah.
In any case... They're facing each other. She's up in the sky. The God of War is on the ground. The God of War chooses his position. I believe in war. Do you remember what Wonder Woman does? She declares, I believe in love. She crosses her arms. The energy comes out of her. And the God of War is stamped like a bug, if you'll recall.
Yeah.
He's eradicated simply because she declared, I believe in love. All that energy came out of her. Now, being a Kung Fu student as well as a Kung Fu teacher, I can assure you that's true. If you use love and your inner energy, you will always be more powerful than muscles and anger. Always. I've never seen it fail. And I've done shit that Po the Panda's done in Kung Fu Panda. I know this sounds ridiculous to use who, you know, in muscles I trust and in fists I trust, but I can assure you that I've experienced and I've seen it. I've not just heard about it, I've actually experienced it. And the fact that Wonder Woman does it in probably one of the best superhero movies right now, which is saved by her. The movie is not as great as it could have been, but she is so great
mm-hmm. yeah.
that
mm-hmm.
it just...
Also, the bar was so low for
that's
DC
true.
Movies, dude. We were like, please,
yeah.
just make something watchable, for God's
yeah.
sake. So
and
we were eager to like it.
I also adore when there is a really obvious but extremely effective visual technique or joke, which is on the battlefield, on the World War I battlefield, she literally reveals herself.
Yeah.
Off comes the coat.
Right.
She reveals herself. And at that point, you get chills watching it.
Yeah.
And you're sitting there, and you're on her... I'm on her side. I won't talk about you. I'm on her side at that point. That's all I want from a fight scene. the fight scenes weren't perfect, Lord knows. They were, the slow motion was used better than in many other movies. There are other things they could have done to amp up the involvement you had in the fight scene specifically, in terms of how you can build a fight scene and pay it off at the end so you go, yeah, in the audience. But still, it was enough. When she revealed herself and went across that battlefield, I'm doing it now. And at the end of the movie, when I choose love, it's like, I threw my hands up and said, we're in a new age. They're making movies that pay off at the end. That don't just set up, they pay off. Now we have to do it in each individual fight scene.
They're making some movies that do that.
Yes, but at least they're But notice, what's the big hits? Those movies.
Right.
Yeah, which has been good. Yeah.
Those movies. And I've seen it. What's the other one I saw recently where I was again, oh, man, they're trying hard. Oh, gosh, another thing I'm showing tonight, John Wick Chapter 2.
We're seeing the trailer.
Seeing a full 10 minutes of that.
Oh, nice.
We're seeing the Enter the Dragon sequence.
Mm. Now, one of the movies that Graham and I saw a trailer for, and we wanted to get your opinion on, was there's a new Bruce Lee story.
Oh my God!
That's funny. I was going to ask that.
Yeah. So, and we were talking about it on the podcast. Yeah. Yes, we were like, we really need to get Rick's opinion.
Yes, you do.
Yeah. We do.
Because we saw the trailer and we were like,
you will not believe it. That movie
is... So tell us the story about it and what you think.
Birth of the Dragon is infamous in the Bruce Lee loving world. It's infamous. What you saw was one of the great cover-ups. Remember, who's distributing it in America? The WWE. WWE Films, the wrestling people, are distributing in America. That trailer you saw is a masterpiece of deception.
I love the beat you took there.
And that should be on the movie card. It's a masterpiece,
of deception. That's great.
This movie was done without the permission or cooperation of the Bruce Lee estate.
Oh.
On the basis of that preview, it looks to be a movie about Bruce Lee, doesn't it?
Sure. And it culminates, from the trailer, it looks like it culminates in a big fight scene between a teacher from China.
Sort of.
And they call it Birth of the Dragon, of all things. Yeah. So you think.
Now, I have to see it again because they may have edited it. They may have edited it to make it more Bruce, but in its original form, it's a movie about a white guy.
Oh.
It's a movie about a white student and his love affair with an Asian girl.
Oh.
Where Bruce is tangential. They cut all of that out of the preview. It's just, what you saw in that preview was every single scene that Bruce is in the movie.
Oh.
And then,
so the movie's completely different?
Completely different. It's about a white guy. It's about a white guy finding himself in San Francisco and becoming one of Bruce's students.
Saving
Bruce. That sounds awful.
It is awful.
Like the worst fucking movie ever.
I'm already angry.
Wow. Yeah, anyone who's
seen
it.
That trailer editor deserves an award.
Yeah, what is it? Masterpiece of deception. And even at the end, it's the student helping Bruce in his injuries. And the story is supposedly true, and one of the great mysteries of the kung fu and martial art world about that fight between a master who came there who supposedly they were frowning on that Bruce was teaching Guaylo, foreign devils, their secret kung fus and stuff, white people. And the fight, and nobody has a straight story of how the fight, some people said it lasted a second, some people said it lasted 30 minutes, some say that Bruce broke his back, some say he defeated this master handily. On the basis of the preview, again, they're playing fast and loose with Kung Fu. It's just like Man of Tai Chi that Tiger Chen was in. What I wanted to ask him, he was hoping he'd be able to make it tonight, but it looks like he won't be able to make it, and I wanted to ask him, so in Man of Tai Chi, why didn't you do Tai Chi? It's called Man of Tai Chi. And, well, MMA is what the kids like. And also I'm fascinated by Michael Bisping, who is a UFC champion. I'm saying, how did you adjust to Scott Adkins and Michael Jai White? How did you adapt your natural inclination to punch them in the face, right away, to beat them in some way? So that should be super fun. But yeah, Birth of the Dragon is just like, OMG. It's an OMG movie.
Wow.
But I do have to see it to see whether they cut it to make it a little more tolerable. But for the most part, it all built...
Match the trailer at all see if they re-edit it.
But the whole point of the trailer makes it look as if the movie is about that fight.
Yes.
And how that fight changed Bruce's ideas on how to teach Kung Fu.
Right.
Because Bruce had actually very...
See, what you just said sounds like an interesting movie.
Yeah. Bruce had actually very limited knowledge of Kung Fu. But even so, his teaching is still absolutely correct, which is you learn everything you can and make it your own. What everybody does now is we learn everything that you taught, Bruce, and we make it like you. But no, he said, learn everything you can, all the teachers, everything, make it your own. Make it your temperament, make it your size, make it your weight, make it your age, your attitude. Absolutely right. But that's not what he showed. When Bruce would use the nunchucks on screen, he did that purposely because he knew it was the worst weapon. It's not the best weapon. It's nonsense. But he figured if he did that, the idiots in the audience might hurt themselves more than they would hurt other people. If he showed an actual effective, really super effective, there are some martial arts weapons or kung fu weapons that are, oh my gosh, they're very powerful. You don't want a bunch of kids running around with nunchucks. That's what's so cool about this new thing about ninja. The ninja continue to be this huge thing. But ninja in real life were kind of nonsense. They were no place on earth. They were pathetic. No place on earth and none in heaven. They were pathetic wretches who had a terrible time in their lives. But making them into these superheroes is super cool because, like Taekwondo.
Or turtles.
Yeah. The turtles, yeah. And also, it's like Taekwondo. Taekwondo is one of the least effective martial art-like sports that you can use in a fight. But it's great for kids because they won't hurt themselves or other people with it. It's not designed to be really effective as a martial art. It's cool as a sport, and it's great as a discipline. Mm-hmm. So that's very smart of all these guys. And I think that's one of the reasons that we don't have more really effective fighting in movies. And that's why, still after a century, people are closing their fists and doing roundhouse punches. I mean, even in the last James Bond movie, he's having the big fight with Jinx on the train, and he has an ice pick, and he does overhand. He does an overhand downward slice with the ice pick, which no spy would ever do, right, even as a joke. But I think that's because they really don't want kids at home to, you know, grab the ice pick and come in under the rib. You know, that's probably not cool.
Making our children far more.
Yes.
However,
but you should teach that as a parent.
Yeah.
For all the ice pick children out there, we don't want to give
come
them
in under
many.
The rib.
Yeah.
However, that's also kind of nonsense because if you look at television, what's the biggest stuff on television? Walking Dead, Game of Thrones, and staggeringly violent. Yeah. And even tonight, we're told that the Comic-Con, it shouldn't be R-rated, it should be PG-13.
Mm-hmm.
I got a lot of blood tonight. I mean, there's gun-fu stuff going down here. I mean, John Wick
yeah.
Part 2, but you don't kind of notice it because you see it on television all the time.
How about
even
last year
time.
You did show a clip from Kung Fu Panda?
Yes, oh my God, well, blood everywhere.
Yeah.
Chi just splashing everywhere on people. So we're.
But that's not what you look for. You don't look for the bloodiest clips. You look for the clips that show the best kung fu.
Well, I look for the clips.
And the ones that we can make fun of the most.
Exactly. Well, John, the whole idea of the extravaganza, make you laugh, make you gasp, make you cheer. That's the whole idea. And I'm out, and what's really funny is in the gun fu movies, like I'm showing Cold War II. Awesome battle sequence in a tunnel with cars and guns, choreographed by a guy named Chin Carlock, who was one of Jackie and Sammo's students. So he's choreographing the guns and the cars, and it's really super cool. That's something the Chinese are doing really well now. They're doing basically glorified movie versions of Hawaii Five-O and Dragnet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, super patriotic,
super
Chinese cops and spies. Like Operation Mekong, we're also showing tonight. Also, awesomely done. Sammo Hung was involved in the choreography of that, but it's guns. It's guns and dogs and all sorts of things.
Dog foo?
Dog foo, baby. It's all dog foo.
Now, what's going on? Like you mentioned Jackie Chan. He's still very much involved in
filmmaking. I'm showing the climactic 11 minutes from one of his latest movies called Kung Fu Yoga. Do you ever want to see
it? Wait a minute, isn't that a remake?
No, it's not.
Didn't you show us a little clip?
Yes, there was another movie that had that was awesome, with a real kung fu yogis from India.
That was from the 70s.
Yes.
That's not
this one.
But it's the same title?
Because it's a translation from the Chinese.
Right.
So that's not its original title or whatever. But Kung Fu Yoga, you ever want to see Jackie in mom pants? You're about to see Jackie and Mompei.
Wow.
I'm planning to end the Chinese, the Well Go USA section with that. Again, it's not out on regular DVD.
He's still really active, though. How many movies does he make a year?
Well, in the last year, he made three in like 3 months.
Oh my God!
The movie that's coming out next, The Foreigner, which was directed by Martin Campbell, who made arguably two of the best James Bond movies ever, was made years ago.
Oh, really?
Many, many years ago. Not many, many, but many years ago. Some years ago. And they're coming it out now. I think they've did a re-edit job. Martin Campbell is an awesome director who was screwed.
They did a Birth of the Dragon. They did a re-edit.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Because Martin Campbell was blamed for Green Lantern. And he was not responsible for Green Lantern.
He had something to do with it.
Yeah, but no, trust me. Warner Brothers, isn't it interesting?
Now, I think we can agree that he wasn't the right choice for the film.
No, I can't agree that.
No, okay.
Here's the deal. Isn't it interesting that directors who have made great films elsewhere go to work for Warner Brothers and make shit? And isn't it interesting that guys who make mediocre movies for Paramount and 20th Century Fox and Warner Brothers goes to Marvel, Pixar, Disney, Lucasfilm, and suddenly make really good movies? Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of hands and a lot of pies.
We got direct information on the making of things like Man of Steel and BVS. And also, look at what's happening with Justice League. Who's directing it now?
Yeah, I don't know.
Not Zakoff.
Joss Whedon.
Joss Whedon, who did the first Avengers movie.
Yeah, he came in, but a lot of it, I don't know how much more reshoots he's going to be doing. He's doing a re-edit.
He's doing a lot of reshoots. They opened the vault and said go. And Wonder Woman's another good example that they're saying we're getting Zack Snyder's fingers off of this. Because he's ruining it.
Well, that's a long... High five on that.
There you go. Yeah.
Well, that's a long time coming. Zack Snyder needs to be off the franchises for good.
The one thing everybody's ever said about Zack is that he doesn't know...
How to make a movie.
No, he does, actually. I've seen some of his movies that I liked.
Yeah.
But he doesn't appreciate, admire, or respect comic books or comic book readers.
Well, that is completely true. Now, I will say this. I thought 300 was really fun.
True. Yes,
like,
exactly.
I really enjoyed 300.
The Owls of Galooly was okay, too.
And I will say that, what was the other one? Watchmen. It was a faithful adaptation of the graphic novel, although it was too kind of slavish to the actual graphic novel.
One of the great kung fu characters in movie history is his Rorschach. Rorschach in the Watchmen movie is excellent at kung fu. He only moves as much as he has to. He's really good at it.
And then things took a downturn from there.
Yep, because he was given too much power. They bought his line of patter, and they gave him too much power, and they let him go, because he seemed so hip.
And for too long.
He seemed so cool,
For too long, it's like, okay, well, Sucker Punch, well, maybe that was just a blip. And then,
after, what was it, Man of Steel?
Man of Steel,
They were going to shit-can his ass.
Yeah, what
it's
happened?
It's a famous, he walked in, I admire his balls. He's amazing. He's very smart in terms of marketing, the kind of thing that empty studio heads like. He showed up at that meeting with the poster for Batman versus Superman. Wow. He walked in with it. It's legendary in the studio world that they were about to take his head off.
And that's all it took to change their minds?
That's all it took.
Wow, what a shame.
That was inspired, though. It was an inspired idea, which he then ruined.
Yeah.
Sure.
But, you know, even I saw, when I first saw that poster, I went, oh, I was excited. I thought this was going to be great. How could it not be? With that cast?
Here you go. Here's how.
That's how.
This is one of the first trailers, I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah, maybe there's something to this.
Yeah.
But then, and now the other thing, for everything that's good, just like Taiwan and China, every step forward they make, China makes sure they make two steps back. So we have the wonderful in Disney I Trust. I want my T-shirts in Disney I Trust, because the odds are if I'm going to see a Disney, Pixar, Lucasfilm, Marvel movie, it's going to be good. Maybe not amazingly great, but for the most part, it winds up being amazingly great.
I think you find, too, that the producers have a lot more say in the directing of those films.
They do, but when the director, also I've talked to people because of Baby Driver, and I've listened to people who were involved in the original Ant-Man, Edgar Wright's Ant-Man, and they sort of went, we completely understood what happened there. Edgar Wright and also Phil Lord and the guys who wanted to
they got fired from
Han Solo.
Yeah.
It was very clear why. It wasn't one of those things where it was an ego-based.
They wanted to make a different movie.
They had a viewpoint, and when I heard the kind of movie they wanted to make, I said, that's awesome, but that's not the movie you should be making for this.
Right.
You should, you know, this is part of that, but whatever. There's still going to be a good movie, because look who's taken over. Ron Howard.
Disagree.
Oh, no, I love Apollo 13.
Apollo
13?
No, not a fan of Ron Howard.
Oh. This has been a 10-year battle between Chris and I. I always like Ron Howard movies. He doesn't like them.
Da Vinci Code.
No, I like Da Vinci Code. Inferno was something. Inferno was awful.
Oh, my God, no.
I figured that movie out. I didn't ever read the book. I figured that movie out in the first 30 minutes.
That's the point. I mean, I read the book. He did a faithful adaptation of the book. So, but be that as it may, but
he's good at shooting cliff notes.
But let's get on to something I think we can agree with, which is for every wonderful thing like in Disney, I trust. Here comes the Dark Universe. Here comes the Mummy. Here comes what's the other guys who were trying to do the
Dr. Jekyll. Well, he was in the Mummy.
Oh, no, the Godzilla King Kong world.
Right.
That's the MonsterVerse, sure.
Created
by studio executives who don't appreciate the genre or know its audience or like them.
And these corporate guys going, we need a big franchise.
Yeah, we need to do this because these guys will buy this.
Because they don't understand that you have to make a good standalone movie first.
Bingo!
Before you can actually expand into a larger universe. Like, what if Iron Man, the first Iron Man, had shoehorned 100 different things and characters?
Yeah, of course.
You wouldn't have bought it. I'm like, oh, what a mess.
And what if Iron Man was something that barely people remembered from 70 years ago? Like,
if you do it well, it doesn't matter, but coming up with the logo first and the movies to fit it later. Deciding, people like dark things. Did you notice that the dark stuff is failing?
And did you
know all along?
And I love too with Universal's Dark Universe. Gee, I wonder if they're trying to shoehorn a Dark Universe in there. They've only shown me the logo 100 times before the movie even starts.
And it's like they're holding it up. You can see the executive, like a used car salesman, holding up the Dark logo, the Dark Universe logo, looking at it, going, huh?
Yeah. See, we got this from Zack Snyder.
And they're not even noticing that your face is twisting up into shock and dismay.
Yeah.
You know, look at that. You like this shit, don't you?
That Zack Snyder universe. Story got around. I was like, look, all you got to do is show up with a logo, and then you can do whatever you want.
Then you can do it. But meanwhile, of course, I could see the meeting with let's get the biggest stars. Let's get the biggest stars. So it's kind of like, okay, here we go, Tom. Here you go. At the end of the movie, you turn into a god. Tom Cruise, I'm in.
First thing it is, I ran out of the office and called Miscavige.
Yeah, that's right.
And guess what? I get to be a god!
So we have all worlds, but I have been waiting.
Not everything needs to be connected.
But if you connect it well, I love it.
Sure.
I mean, when they recreated the cover and the content of Spider-Man 32, one of the most famous issues in Spider-Man history, in Spider-Man Homecoming, been waiting all my life to see that. I mean, and the fact that they did it.
Now, what was that image?
The image is he's buried under the machinery with water dripping on him. Yeah. He's on the cover like that. That's there's a sequence in the comic where, over a series of panels, really probably one of the great masterpieces of Steve Ditko's art, he lifts it off of him.
Right.
Which he does in the movie. That is an integral moment in the history of Spider-Man the comic and Spider-Man the character.
Mm-hmm.
And their understanding of that character and the way to do all of it from his personality, the way they nailed that sequence when he's running around this city, making mistakes, falling on his face, making comments constantly, that's an example of people who understand the audience, appreciate it, respect it, admire it, love it.
By Marvel Studios. You know who loved that movie the most? Sony.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And they should sell everything back to them.
Yeah. They're not going to let it go now. Yeah. Basically, Marvel is making them those Spider-Man movies for Sony. They're not going to let the rights completely go.
Well, that's fine. But now that Sony should sell the rest of their Marvel characters to let Marvel make them money.
I couldn't agree more. And you really think there's I wonder how long it took for those lawyers to just be stuck in a room with the door locked.
Yeah.
Like, all right, figure this out.
What else does Sony own, though?
They own the ancillary Spider-Man characters like Venom, Black Cat.
Don't they have X-Men, or is that 20th? 20th Century Fox
has X-Men.
And Sony is. They have a Black Cat, and it's two female characters I think they're going to make a film with. They're making a Venom.
A Venom movie, yeah.
And maybe a trilogy of it. Yeah. They're now they're really banking on it now that they have this deal with Marvel.
Right.
Now they're really going to pull out all these Spider-Man
these
characters,
secondary characters
that they have rights to, and they're gonna
I'm not that excited about these secondary characters getting their own, you know.
But again, movies. If it's a good movie, fine. But they won't probably be good movies. Odds are good that
it could
won't
be another Catwoman.
Yeah, exactly. They'll screw the pooch again, and they'll lose money, and then they'll sell them back to Disney. I mean, Disney, but
right.
And Disney already is planning their. To end this group after 10 years and start a new group.
Well, they do it in phases.
Yeah,
like you said, like we're in phase three is wrapping up. Then we'll start phase four.
After
and we will have the right. Star Wars mm-hmm. phase that's going on.
Right.
So, like I said, I'm like a pig in mud. I don't have to grow up.
Mm-hmm.
I am reliving my childhood better than ever with television downloads. The action is not as good as it could be, but there's room for improvement, but it is improving. It's a vast... I mean, if you had heard last year's Invisible podcast, there was a sense of, you know, all right, this is pretty much it. We're pretty much done. It's going on a downward slope. At the moment, the hope... things are so bright, I gotta wear shades.
Well, let's go into specifics for, like, you said Force Awakens was a great kung fu movie.
Yeah. If you remember at the end, there's a moment... when the villain is using all his power
before Jedi Island,
yeah, on the heroine, he's not shooting up heroin, on our female lead, Rey.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll notice that nothing he can do can break her strength. And if you look at her face, she's totally calm, she's totally serene. She's using her chi. She's not using her anger or muscles,
mm-hmm.
and he can't break it. It's
light
only
and dark side.
Yeah, it's only when. Well, of course, the reality. Ever seen a yin yang sign? Mm-hmm. Is yin yang light or dark? It's not. It's both.
Right.
That's the key. And I hope, again, in the new movie, The Last Jedi, they realize that as well. It's not mm-hmm. one or the other. It's both. That's where you get the power.
I saw a great Comic-Con t-shirt that said, if you kill Luke, we're rioting.
Yeah.
No, Hamill doesn't want to die.
Yeah.
And neither did Carrie Fisher, actually. Princess Leia, but anyway, yeah.
her footage was all shot. She will be in the next,
but not
one.
For the next,
but not for the next,
not
one,
not
right.
for not for nine, but yeah, the it's we've got the promise of great entertainment coming up and great action, and I'm hoping again they show that. But anyway, in The Force Awakens, she can't be moved. The only time she fails and loses the fight is when she gets angry again. Mm-hmm. The moment she gets angry again, all her power leaves her.
Right.
And that's in the movie, and they can get away with it because it's Force, but it's also in Spider-Man, it's also in Wonder Woman, it's also in Doctor Strange, it's also in Moana. It's in a way, it's in Zootopia, too.
Well, let me ask you this question. In that movie, Force Awakens, why was Adam Driver punching his wound?
There's a really good reason for that, actually. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, because I was curious.
There's
about
something
that.
About evil.
Mm-hmm.
Evil, all in Kung Fu, we're always told that if somebody starts a fight, there's something wrong with them. If you start a fight, there's something wrong with you. Anyone who wants to hurt you is actually trying to hurt themselves. And they're taking their self-loathing and they're projecting it onto you. And in Kung Fu, again, both Kung Fu Panda 1 and 3 both said this pretty much directly outward. If a person insists upon trying to hurt themselves by trying to hurt you as a Kung Fu student, you'll help. And that's what Doctor Strange does so brilliantly. The way he realizes to get out of this is he goes and gives the villain what he wants. And as he says at the end, because villains always discover this, you won't like it. Because villains always fixate on the negative because they're self-loathing. And so when he started hitting himself,
mm-hmm.
that's his psychology in a nutshell. It's so easy. When I was a kid and people would bully me and they would say, Rick, you're fat, my reply was always, you're stupid. And it was so funny that it didn't make them angry, it made them upset and sad. Because in order to be a bully, you have to be stupid. You choose to be a bully or a villain, you have to be stupid. Because if you were smart, you wouldn't choose that path. It doesn't make sense to continue to punish yourself. I'm also, as you know, Santa Claus. And yes. And I always tell kids, you know, when you do something naughty, a certain energy comes off of you, which is true. When you do something nice,
Let me clarify for our listeners. When Rick says, I'm Santa Claus, he actually does dress up as Santa.
I don't dress up as Santa. I have a Santa suit.
You have a Santa suit.
I don't dress up.
You don't dress up. Rick is Santa. And I want to give Rick credit for this. He goes to hospitals. He talks
children's
to children.
Hospitals, yeah.
And it's one of the great things that he does every year.
Oh, that sucks. But anyway, the point is, again.
Accept a compliment, Rick.
Yes.
No, can't do it. Sorry.
Yes, you can.
Not happening.
No. How good is the kung fu if you don't accept the compliment, Rick?
Graham, I accepted the compliment. And then I put the energy back out as, pshaw. Oh, pshaw, I'm nothing. Come on, you're the great ones, not me. But the point is, energy comes off of you, which is true, when you do something bad. Energy comes off of you when you do something good. And also, it's just like a kid. I love social workers who say, oh, they can't help themselves. These killers, they just can't help themselves. And it's like, can you help yourself? And also, watch a child. They knock over the lamp. Who broke the lamp? Monster did it. I didn't do it. Not that child isn't sociopathic, but at the same time, it's a natural inclination. But what else does a child feel? Guilt. You do something bad, you damn well know you did something bad, and you feel bad about it. But it also gives you... No, even when you're a sociopath, you get a rush. You get a rush of power. I mean, I found out, you know, I had an abusive mother, and I found out later that she was horribly abused, far more than I was. What she did for me was actually championship, but I wasn't aware of that. But she was... So people who abuse, it's a cycle of abuse that needs to be broken by rejecting the abuse.
Hurt people hurt people.
Yes.
Right.
And the idea is to reject it. Because there's some people, as you know, in the family who reject that teaching. Other people accept it and continue it. We're getting way off the field here, but that's okay. It's still kung fu.
You know, people enjoy tangents on the show.
Yeah. So, in any case... These movies encapsulate... The Marvel movies encapsulate a good superhero movie, a good action movie. Also, good action movie is excellent for you getting your aggression out in a safe way. That's one of the reasons I love action movies, because, again, I grew up in a very abusive situation. So I love heroes. I don't love villains. I'm not interested in the villains. I'm interested in the heroes. And people are saying, oh, the villain is always more interesting. No, the villain is more easy to do. To do a really accurate... If you've known any heroes in life, and I think, Graham, you probably have met a lot of great heroes on your trips to do the troops. It's not easy to be a hero, because you take good to an extreme, it becomes evil.
Well, now, for like a cinematic perspective, as far as a villain goes, the most effective villains are always the ones that seem to have an element of sympathy to them, where you can...
Believability, I call it.
Or conflict.
Or conflict, yeah. Or like someone, you know, is twirling a mustache and putting a woman on a train. That's, you know,
That's
classic villain. But if there's something where, oh, this is why this person is this way, this is what they're trying to achieve, and there's a hint of like, I can kind of see his point, those are the more interesting
villains.
A lot
of people were complaining about Marvel's superhero villains in the movies. They're always saying the villains are weak. I think one of the strongest ones, and that's because I said yes, that's because the hero, they're hero-based. The hero is the awesome one, so the villain always... Because ultimately, when you examine any villain's motive, it is so selfish and stupid that it really doesn't hold up under the light of observation. But who's the best, I think, the best villain in Marvel Cinematic Universe history? Michael Keaton in Spider-Man.
Oh, he was really
there.
Good.
Was some scene.
It's so great because
you felt some empathy.
But my favorite performance, super spoiler alert, was in the after credit sequence when he confronts the other villain. He's in jail. The Vulture's in jail, and he confronts the other villain and doesn't give Spider-Man up.
Yeah, and that's the Scorpion, by the way.
The Scorpion. Amazing performance by Michael Keaton in that sequence. You watch, the man has a code. He has a code which he doesn't break. A code of honor. A code of life. His motivations were believable.
Yeah.
And I thought, I just love, and also, again, Baby Driver versus Spider-Man. Spider-Man has one of the most awesome endings ever. It just was elation when that happened.
Yeah.
And Baby Driver has this soft ending, has this dreamlike ending that is not credible in any way with the rest of the film. And you have a soft ending, you have a soft movie, because it eventually takes over your memory of the movie.
I think we all agree on Baby Driver.
Yeah. Yeah, I loved your spoiler episode.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting in my car going, that's right.
Yeah.
You're not that right. But I blame it entirely on the ending. While Spider-Man, it's like, although Spider-Man was great throughout, but that ending, even if it had not been great throughout, it was like, that ending was, you know, what the...
It was fun.
It was brilliant, I thought.
Mm-hmm. Well, as we start to wrap this episode up, Rick, what are you most looking forward to in the martial
art... action space.
In the action space, the martial art movies, or what do you...
The... I know what's coming up. Another preview we're showing tonight, which I haven't even revealed to anybody, is there's a movie coming out from Wellgo USA called Wolf Warrior 2 by Wu Jing, who's one of my favorite. He went to the same Kung Fu school as Jet Li.
Please say Kung Fu Werewolves.
I will say it, but that's all I do.
Surfing Kung Fu Werewolves.
Oh,
no.
Yes.
I'm not looking forward to another Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles either. I am looking forward to, of course, Last Jedi.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. I'm looking forward to Thor Ragnarok.
Yes.
Disney, I trust. I am super looking forward to Wreck-It Ralph 2.
I forgot that was coming.
And The Incredibles 2.
Yeah. Loved Incredibles.
Incredibles.
Yeah.
And we've got, you know, what's happening now in Chinese cinema is they're taking their great character and they're making them young and angry. And they're casting an actor named Eddie Peng. So he created the young angry Wong Fei Hung, and he just did the young angry Monkey King in a movie called Wukong. So I'm looking forward to the young angry Buddha. I'm looking forward to the young angry old Mr. Q, Master Q, which is one of the most famous comic characters in Chinese history. I'm looking forward to everything Marvel does except the TV. I am not looking forward to the Defenders. Iron Fist, you could imagine I love that show.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know anyone who
found it watchable. What's fascinating too is, like, how could you get everything else so right and that so wrong? And as a progression, like, the show actually got worse as it progressed.
Yeah, I mean, I find all of the Netflix Marvel shows are 6-episode stories in 13-episode packages.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jessica Jones.
I can see that argument.
At the Jessica Jones at the end, they literally for the last 3 episodes, she wanders around, and when they have to fill up another half of an episode, they hit her with a truck.
Right.
And it's like, and what does she do at the end? The thing she should have done in the 3rd episode, except a lot of other innocent people got hurt because she delayed.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, and Luke Cage started awesome and then became a huge circle jerk.
I liked Luke Cage.
I like it too, but I didn't love it. 6 episodes were real good. The last 6 episodes were spinning wheels.
I have definitely enjoyed the Marvel shows with the exception of Iron Fist. I think we can all agree that Iron Fist was awful.
Yeah.
It was a shame. It was a shame.
And that was one I was looking forward to a lot because I think, oh, there's so much you could do with this. Mm-hmm. Oh, you've done nothing with it.
Yeah. So... Normally I would do this because I'm kissing ass, but it's actually true. I'm looking forward to everything Disney does. I'm looking forward to everything Wellgo USA does, because they don't take every Chinese movie. They only take the really super cool, amazing ones. And I also love the way the Chinese directors are now finding their footing and finding a way to navigate this gauntlet of razor blades that they're living in order to make their own movies.
Well, that's good to hear.
All right.
Yeah. And I wish you were all here at the Comic-Con Kung Fu Extravaganza. I hope...
Just the fact that you're listening to this episode means we didn't screw it up, so win.
Let's hope...
Are you going to keep doing it? This is your 20th year.
Well, I'm going to look over at the representative from Wellgo I have over here in the lounge chair, who came in at the last second. It is up to... Not even up to you, really, Wellgo USA. I won't call you out and name you so you can get stuff. But
just corporate.
It's up to what the stuff you want to buy. If they keep on making these great films and you're willing to step up the way you stepped up this year, I will do whatever you tell me to. I mean, my beard is at your disposal.
So this may not be the last year.
Yes. Great to hear. It's up to the creative world. It's up to the fates. If they keep on making good action movie, I will keep sharing my love of them with you.
So there you go, universe. Up to you.
You heard it.
Yeah.
And Welgo USA.
And Welgo
yes,
USA.
And
USA. Well, they're the universe.
Okay, actionfilmautopsy.com, WelgoUSA.com.
And you have any other books or anything coming out, Rick?
Oh, my God. You have to bring that up. They say you can't go home again? Whoever said that is so wrong. It is, I am back to, when I started my career, I could sell a book over a lunch. I can do it again. I now am working on two continuing book series, one, none under my own name, and I finished two other books earlier this year. I have a series of action horror books. Two are finished. They're coming out later this year. I just finished an international thriller. I am now proposing a fantasy epic and a horror. What are five books? That's not a tetralogy, is it? It's a quadology. What is
Dectology?
Something like that.
Dectology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Five?
But I have not stopped writing. I have not stopped writing books for 3 years.
We'll call it a pentagology.
Yeah. So check actionfilmautopsy.com and rickmyers.com for when they are released.
So these are all fiction books you're writing?
They're all novels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
that's great.
The first one's called Arachnosaur.
Mm-hmm.
Second one's called Blood Demons. And I love Blood Demons.
Don't we all?
Oh my God!
Those are both titles, and I'm like,
wow. Yeah, I'm very interested.
Blood Demons is about what created the legend of the vampire, which turns out to be like 600 legends, but there was one at the very beginning, and that's who we're dealing with there.
Well, check out. So now, what are the releases on these?
Don't know.
No, you know, still working on.
Don't know.
Okay, but what are the books you have out right now?
Oh gosh, you can still get Films of Fury, the Kung Fu movie book. You can still get for 1 week only the World of Exploitation Films. Mm-hmm. There's a crap load of other books out that I can't mention. I suppose I can mention because I'm mentioned in it. I'm the new William Shatner science fiction novel, Zero G.
Nice.
I worked on that, and he acknowledges me at the end of the book.
Oh, cool.
And I loved doing it. And I took care of all the Chinese stuff,
because
there's a Chinese space station.
Oh, cool.
And,
cool.
And it was awesome to work with him and his co-author, Jeff Robin. And it's a pretty awesome book. Shatner says it's the best novel he's ever written, and I can't help
Better than Tech Wars?
That was Ron Goulart, who is the co-writer, and that was pretty good. But Zero G is like the 2001 to Tech War.
Got it.
Yeah.
that's a big difference.
Yeah, huge difference. So anyway, yeah.
Well, that sounds good. So check out all of Rick's comings and goings.
Yeah.
And Universe, if you and Welgo get your act together, there'll be another one of these.
Yeah, even better. So get your 2018 San Diego Comic-Con tickets now, because you won't be able to get them tomorrow. They'll all be sold out tomorrow, or become really good friends with me, and like everybody in this room, I'll get you a free badge. No, I won't. I will not do that.
Well, thank you, Rick Myers. Thank you, Neil T. Weekly.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you to all the good, fine people at San Diego Comic-Con.
And at Welgo USA.
At Welgo USA. Mm-hmm. And my name's Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini, and as always, remember,
Han shot first.
Greedo, put down that gun!
Okay, break it up. Break it up. For now.
You don't give up, do you?
Listen in next time for more film fun, frenzy, and friends. Until then, check out actionfilmautopsy.com where the excitement never ends.
Solid victory.